Welcome to the Joy Felipe Bruce podcast. Sister Joy Felipe is a daughter of Bishop Dyke Heward Mills and the senior pastor of the Fountain of Life Cathedral of the United Denominations, originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches. The Fountain of Life Cathedral is a thriving church of young, energetic people full of life for the Lord. Sister Joy is also an itinerant minister of Dyke Heward Mills Ministries. She travels extensively, holding pastors' conferences and bringing ministry-related books by Bishop Dyke Heward Mills to the nations. She is the evangelist of the Blessed Salvation Crusade. Now be blessed and refreshed as you listen to this inspired message by Sister Joy.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We want to give three people a high five. People are in the wedding mood, I tell you. People are looking floral. Others are looking colorful. Some people are looking raw. Some people are looking raw. They know themselves. Amen. Amen. If you know someone who is not in church, tell the person that mommy is about to preach. What a blessing it is to be in the house of God once again. Church, let's be on our feet. And by the grace of God today, we still have our anointed with us. And church, with a clap offering, help me welcome our pastor, our shepherd, our teacher, E.S. Joy.
It's my life, Jesus the man of Galilee. Oh, whether rain or shine,
come on.
Day on night, he leads the way.
Find your Bible. In this service, we have something that we say. Find your Bible this morning and let's make our confession. You want to say, this is my Bible. I have what it says I have. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the word of God. I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Take your seat. I'm just looking for some people I'm not seeing. I'm wondering whether it's because of a wedding that, hey, they are dressing. Ask them, are they the bride? Hallelujah. This morning, I just want you to help me welcome one of our visiting pastors all the way from Tamale. Pastor Martin, it's good to see you. Oh, we can't see you. We can't see you. Wow. You're so welcome to join us for the service. Amen and amen. God bless you. Well, this morning we're going to be starting. I'm going to introduce a new topic. Are you there? Are you ready? We've been talking about prayer the whole of the month of January. We're praying partly into the month of February also. And it continues. Amen. But we're going to move. Tell your neighbor we're changing tactics. We're changing to another subject, also important. After all, when you eat meat for some time, you have to eat fish. Or sometimes you eat cow meat and then after a while you change to goat meat. So what are we changing to? Is it the goat meat we are changing to today? Okay, we are doing goat meat. Then the soup will be nice. Yeah. Hallelujah. Some of you, when you're making your soup, you use beef. You need a revelation. It's not nice. It's not nice. They are nicer. Sorry, but they are nicer meats for soup. And this beef you are using, you have misplaced it. Hallelujah. But I just want to preach. It's our service. I mean, we have a wedding and we are going to be rejoicing and we're going to have the wedding fully. Amen. But we came to church before there was a wedding. We came to church. So the word of God there, it has to come. Oh, the choir is looking nice and colorful and wedding full and everything. It's too nice. It's nice. It's nice. Power, ask your neighbor that by you, your wedding, who will come? The way you are, no? Beautiful. Well, I don't know how far I'll get with this because I'm just trying to keep the time so that the wedding people, too, is their day, they have their time. But we need to share an important word. And for the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about a very important subject. Amen. I want you to tell your neighbor, other people are important. Not only you, other people are important. Hey, mercy. Mercy. The title of this message is taken from a story, a true story. How many of us know the name William Booth? William Booth. Hey, Charlie, it's a different generation, la. William Booth was a man of God who existed many years ago, and he and his wife were in the ministry together, and he started a ministry that he called the Volunteer Army. For many years, it was known as the Volunteer Army, and he believed that it was loving people, like it's not just to preach the gospel, but you have to love them and you have to help them. It was something he really believed. Are you there? He wrote a letter one time to a friend and he was talking about the Volunteer Army. And his son was there. His son said, I'm not a volunteer. I'm a regular in the army. I'm a regular. Tell your neighbor, I'm a regular. Maybe you are doing it part-time, but me, I'm a regular. Actually, I'm there all the time. And that is how he happened to change the name of Volunteer Army to Salvation Army. That is how the change came about. And many of us know the Salvation Army in whatever capacity. Today, it is the second or third largest charity in the world in 134 countries. But before now it's just a charity, but it didn't start like that. It started as a very powerful witness of Christ. Amen. Oh, all these things on the head. The AC is coming. Thank you very much. I've heard. Tell neighbor to be consoled. The ACs are coming. Hallelujah. Anyway, so this is the story of this powerful man who believed very much in serving people and that people responded to the love of God. Now, tell neighbor one day he had a meeting. He had gathered all his leaders. They had come as they would normally come for the annual meeting. And as they gathered, the man couldn't make it. By this time, he was getting older, and travel was hard, and he knew that, realized he would not make it. So he told them, you people gather, I'm sending you a letter. I'm sending you a letter. So they were waiting for the letter, the telegram. What will you be expecting? At least he'll say something, isn't it? He'll say something. This morning, I was recalling a sermon that we heard many years ago. Till today, I remember the title. Pastor Martin, I don't know if you remember. The rain-beaten eagle has been mistaken by the chickens to be a vulture. And it was a very powerful sermon. Hey, the rain-beaten eagle. Who is the rain-beaten eagle? You. And because the rain has beaten you small, no, you are looking very rugged. You know, chickens know that eagles are dangerous. But because the eagle is rain-beaten, that's why they are walking around there. But Charlie, the sun has come and your feathers are drying out. Your feathers are soon. You'll be an eagle and they'll be in danger, you know. So they were expecting some dramatic something. But when they opened the telegram, what did they find? Just one word. Others. It's like as my life is expiring and as I'm leaving, I just have one word to leave with you. And what was that word? Others. And he left it to them to meditate on and to think. Hey, are you there? So for the next few weeks, we too are going to be thinking about others. And I'm hoping that it will not just be a thought of what we are thinking for a few weeks, but it will be our life and our lifestyle. Are you in the church? Maybe you cannot really see it, but even in the Ten Commandments, which we think have expired, hey, we say that in that there is a time of grace. So as for the Ten Commandments, I don't need to. Oh, let's go through the Ten Commandments. Let's go through. So you see whether it's relevant or not. What's the first one? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. How come money is before God to you? You see, you are trying to look innocent, but you know that money is more important to you than God. That's why there are things you will do for money that you won't do for God. Because money is more important. Hey, I thought you'd be holding your head and saying, mercy, Lord, have forgive me. Yeah. Because when you have to go for money, you'll never tell the person that, oh, I can't come. But you can tell God that I can't come to church because I'm washing. Tell anybody, it's the most useless excuse on earth. He has given you 6 out of the 7 days to do your washing. It's his day. That's when you have chosen. You have another God. Number two. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. You see, oh, me, I've not made a stone idol. You haven't made a stone idol, but your phone is an idol. We have many idols that we have put there. Yeah. Some women, your husband is the idol. Be careful God doesn't just remove him. Yeah. Hey, everything, my husband, since he entered your life, backsliding kwana away. Ever since you saw that girl, that's all. Hey! You see. But God says, don't replace me. Number three. Is it a good reminder? Okay. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. So I don't have to say much. When last were you just walking and you said, Jesus? That's a taking of his name in vain. Some of you cry when you were coming, you tripped, you didn't fall. Then you said, Jesus. What is that? Hey. So anyway, this one there, we are guilty as charged, as we are seeing. Number four. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I don't even want to go into this one. Remember the Sabbath day. Hey, whether your Sabbath is Saturday or Sunday, in this church we believe it's Sunday. Whichever day you believe that it is, have you been keeping it holy? Then how come you're always looking at your time? That where God is wasting your time. Because you want to go and spend it on the other things that are not God. But he asked you to keep it holy. You have used it to go to school. What again have you used it to do? Watch football, watch movies, wash, eat lunch, oversleep. Everything that's not important, that's what we have done with it. And we have rather, the football is major. Eh? We have rather made God, it's like Charlie, ooh, we see a time. Number five, honor thy father and mother. I don't want to enter it because it will spoil the meeting. If you are sitting by a human being, ask the person, when last did your father or mother hear from you? What did they hear from you? And when I say hear from you, proper hearing. Proper hearing. Some of you, when they call you, cry, the way you make your face. You think that God doesn't know it. Registered. Hey! Honor. Doesn't even say love. It doesn't even say like. It says honor. Honor. Hey. You see, that one too, I don't want to enter. Because I can't come out. Number six. We are just revising. Thou shalt not kill. I think you are sitting a little straight there. Straight. I've not killed anybody. I won't say anything. Number seven. Because if I remember, I'll have to remind you of the number of abortions you've had. Thou shalt not. Hey, why? Hey. A certain doctor told me, when you come to the hospital, the gynae division, and you are coming and they ask you, they will ask you a lot of questions, getting your history, and then they ask, in this our town, they ask, have you had an abortion? You say that, oh, only one. They write five. Yeah, because it's likely that you've had five. Only that you can't see. You know, because they are going to treat you, so they better be careful. Because if you've had five, you're a different person from somebody, they have to be careful. Say something, but you are sitting here today. Hey! I only said it. I mean, I don't know if it's you. Just look straight and smile. Why? Thou shalt not commit adultery. You know, we are in church, oh, but as we are looking, we can see, look. Because of you, somebody's marriage is about to fail. Number eight, Thou shalt not steal. Even in the church, you dare not leave your... Even in the church. You think I'm lying? Okay, put it. You leave it on the chair. You just leave it on the chair. That, oh, pastor, I want to show you that we are... What I'm saying, is it true or is it not true? They are calling the name of God, lifting their hands, everything, but chale, the stealing is still there. It's still there. And in the, I will never forget it. The Sunday that one of our instrumentalists, he was there. Not that he had left, he was there. Church had ended and he just put the phone down and he turned to this. When he turned back, he's gone. In the church. Another time, Pastor Gaston had put his laptop right there. Same day. Laptop, everything disappeared. In the church. Not that somebody came from outside to come and collect it all. In the church. Thou shalt not. You see, I'm just showing you that it has not passed. I'm just showing you that. Has it passed? Next one. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Some of you are lying. It's you. But I saw him. I remember a lady who was caught. Thank God it was not here, but in one of our churches. She had stolen the offering of Pastor Martin. She had stolen the thing. The thing was in forex in her bag. It was there. And because, you see, the person who was in charge, she had suspected. She had not been able to prove. So she was trying to prove something. Because, Charlie, you can't just go accusing people. So that day, she had planted. Are you getting it? That forex. She had planted it. Uh-huh. I tell you, bag ni forex ni nipa ni nelsi. Are you there? I'm telling you, it's not her. It's not. So if it's not her, then you are saying it's one of the other people. Very false witness. It's not true. It's you. Hey. And the last one, thou shalt not covet. Now these were the 10 commandments as given to Moses. But if you notice, if you put them together, you see that the first 5 were relating to God. And the last 5 were relating to your neighbor. Are you seeing it? Even though he goes into detail like that. So truly, truly, it has not passed away. It hasn't gone. What you do with your neighbor is important. Now, Jesus came, and in John chapter 13 and verse 34, he says something. He says, a new commandment. So it was new, but it wasn't new. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Can you ask your neighbor, so neighbor, do you love me? And when I say love, I'm not saying that you want to sleep with her or you want to sleep with her. I have to just say it. So I shouldn't even have to say this from the pulpit, but I have to say it because some of us, the mind is so warped that this is what we understand. Hey, are you in the church? You see, and we have proceeded to divide the church until it doesn't even make sense. Doesn't even make sense. People have been killed for what they believed. You know, the Baptists are an example. When the Baptists rose up and said, listen, baptism is by immersion. In those days, they had fallen to the point where they were just doing it, sprinkling, and that's it. Many of us were sprinkled as children, no? Yeah. And then a whole argument rose up about it. Hey, if you wake up and say that you, dear, you are a Baptist, they will tie blocks to your legs and drop you in the sea. If you say it's by immersion, go inside. I mean, the things that you are, very wild things. So, another group were arguing, and the argument was that one group believed that when you pray over the communion, it becomes the actual body of Christ. The other group believed that it was not so, and the third group was in the middle, and they were fighting. You see, we are looking at it, and we are saying that, oh, how? But we have our own in today's day and age of our Lord. Are you in the church? Those who tie their head, they are going to heaven, and those who don't tie. So the one with the tied head, according to the latest gospel, is going to heaven. Okay, you are bought the salvation that Jesus died for. There are neighbors in the week that any won't copy you, won't copy. And some of you who are here, that you have also judged others according to this. The only reason why you have not manifested is that we don't allow you to talk about it. Otherwise, you'd have divided us again on these things. Should I give you more examples? You say that the guys who have braided their hair. Pastor, why don't you say something? You see, you don't even know how you came to be saved. That's why you are arguing about it. You see, you need to distinguish between what is to you culturally right and what is Bible. They are two different things. They are two different things. It's not a matter of heaven and hell. No. Okay. Because your hair is in place, you will go to hell. Please ask yourself, what are you talking about? Why did Jesus appear? It's different if you are saying, I know some parents who object. As a parent, just say, I don't like it. I don't like it. I've also had a young man standing on the stage in earrings. I sent him a message. I can't take it. I take a lot of things. Many things I don't mind. But this one's hard for me. Please, you take. If you are weary, if you're in the congregation, I don't have a quarrel with you. But if you're coming onto my stage, I beg you. I beg you. But that's just me. It's cultural. It's not a matter of whether you are saved or not. Hey. Otherwise, why did Jesus die? You have boiled his death to this one. Another one was questioning why we don't come to church formally dressed. Hey! Pastor Martin, let me say, Neddy Ewuko, Charlie Niger. Dancing stars, according to this slide, Charlie, according to this slide. Hey! There's another picture there. Let's see whether the ladies will qualify. Hey! I was preaching this in the first service, and all the lady pastors, three of them were in trousers. I said, These are the things we have used to divide. When Jesus told us that by this shall all men know that we are his disciples. Are you in the church? Should I give you another one? You want another picture? What about the piercings? We have used all these things to divide us, ourselves. And today when we came to church, they say it's okay to do piercings. I didn't say whether it's okay or it's not okay. What I'm saying is that that is not the determinant of salvation. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. It's not the determinant. Ajay. Should I give you another one? You want another one? Okay. The anklet. Yay! You said that those who wear the anklet, they are not going. How can you boil our existence in heaven or hell to an anklet? For goodness sake, Sorry, be serious. How can it be about that? Oh, come on. Please tell the neighbor on the other side, listen, your personal preferences or culture is different. Are you there? From heaven or hell. But what I'm saying is that we have used all these things to divide the church, and we have made the following of Jesus into something funny. You can do whatever you want so long as you have Jesus in your bio. So, Charlie, I'm a God girl. Me, while half your pictures, you are naked there. But I put it there. Yeah, put it there. No, but it's true. Then we have the cliches plenty. God understands. Hey, God knows all things. Are you there? This is how we talk. Cleanliness is next to godliness. You are writing your own. These are your own interpretations of the Bible. What is acceptable? But Jesus said something. We were reading John 13:34. Let's go to 35. What does he say? By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. Not by your hair. Not by the trousers or lack of trousers. Not by the piercings. Not by the things that divide us. But if you have love one for another. That's how they will know. No wonder people don't know. No wonder. Are you in the church? Because we have divided ourselves over all kinds of funny things. And that's why I'll be sharing with you for the next 2 or 3 weeks about others. Others. Other people are important. Tell your neighbor. Other people. Many of us, we are so occupied by ourselves and our problems. Yes. And you feel that, oh, when I solve my problems, then I'll be able to... I'm sorry, let me inform you that you are not going to serve God. Why? Job 14 verse 1 has a very interesting scripture. It says, man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. And that is why your trouble of last year, it has gone, but another one has come. True or not true? So if you are waiting for the clearing up of your problems in order to serve God, it's not going to be. Jesus did not wait until his problems were cleared. we find him, I mean, one of the most stunning parts of this is to see how Jesus was in the last few days as they were taking him to kill him. They are coming to arrest him. And Peter was upset, and Peter took his sword and cut off the ear of somebody. And Jesus was, please, wait. I know you're coming to handcuff me, but you hold on. Let me sort out this ear before. Look at what was facing him. He should have been concerned with that. But he had this thing to say, wait. When he was on the cross, and you see, he was flesh, so he could feel. Are you there? He could feel the nails, he could feel them. He could feel that his life was ebbing out. He could feel it. And then he sees his mother and says, hey, you know, people suspect that Joseph was already dead by then, his father. They suspect he was dead by then because we don't meet him again after Jesus was in the temple at the age of 12. And they are saying that at that time, man's lifespan was 35 years. You know, so he was most likely dead by then. We don't hear of him anymore. So he looks at his mother. She's going to be alone. Then he looks at John. John was a young boy. He was just about 19. He met Jesus when he was 16. And he was just 19 years old. And it's like, Charlie, this young boy will be boy, that's your mother. Mother, that's your son. He's busy counseling, organizing them as he's hanging up there. Not thinking about the pain and how he's dying. Then he looks and he sees that they've come to put two thieves, one here, one here. Can I perchance just smuggle one of them last minute into heaven? And the guy says that, please forgive me. And Jesus tells him that, Charlie, today, dear, we are going to heaven. As if that is not enough. He's hanging up, then he sees the guys who beat him and the people who put him up there. And then he starts to pray. Father, forgive them. Forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. Forgive them. They think it's a joke. You just forgive them. Hey, did he not have a problem that was bigger than all their problems? And yet he was thinking about them. Who are you thinking about? You, yourself, and I. Me, myself, and I. No wonder you are so unhappy. Moodiness. That moodiness is because you have made yourself of no use. Ish, mercy. Are you in the house? If you think we have come to this earth for ourselves, then I don't know why you came. Because life without Christ and life without the purpose that Christ gave us, then even a dog is better. Ah, a dog, at least it is guarding the house. A dog, at least. Some thieves are not coming. They have a use. But tell me the use of a life after you are born. Why do the children cry? Because they know that their torment has started. As they have come out of the nice, warm environment, chale, the wala has begun. That's why, as they have arrived, they even used to spank their boy. What have I done to you? Then they start, he didn't know hunger before. Now he'll know hunger. Now his stomach will pain him. Now he'll get some fever. From that time, then he gets up, he starts to go to school. School is the greatest torment of man on earth. Maybe you didn't have the kind of teacher some of us had. My goodness gracious me. You go through all that. Then you come and do BC. When you finish, you pass by the skin of your teeth. Then you continue SHS. WASI is waiting for you. You go and do the WASI. And you struggle or you don't struggle. When you finish struggling, then you find some course to go and do somewhere. Some of you, the course that there, some of the people are doing, they don't even sit up. Those who get a course are struggling. Those who don't get a course are struggling. Those who are working are you there? We are working only to marry. More problems. Don't believe any married couple tells you that the problems are fewer after marriage. It's not true. Yeah, true. Before you married, you had only yourself to think about. Oh. You never knew the responsibility waiting for you. Yourself, your wife or husband. I mean, your husband, you used to just drink milo and sleep. Now, he wants what? Fried rice at this hour. Are you there? You were there enjoying your one salary. Now she wakes up, she says that there's a wedding in the house and she has to buy shoes. Goodness. Then the children, I don't even want to go there. Problems. Problems. And you will be in it like that. Huh? You think, you see, the fallacy, that's why the devil, his greatest tool is deception. You think that a time will come when it's not there. You've forgotten Job 14:1. that the days of man are few and the problems is just there. And everybody has them. I don't know if you've met anybody who didn't have problems. And it will be like that. You start to get old. You are bones. You are this. You are that. You are that until you die. What then? What is the use of this life? What is the use? What is the use? Why be born and just come and bread, more bread, more bread, further and that? What is the use? That's what I'm saying. Then the life of a dog is better. Because at least the dog is of use. It's doing something. Some of you don't know that your dog is... One night we're going home. And some dogs that were chasing one female dog, they had all come to camp at the house. And I remember telling Pastor David, I said, look, the owner thinks that his dog is guarding his house. The foolish animal has left the house to come and camp here over, over a girl. Hey! But I tell you, when a dog is actually working, it's a great thing. It's a great thing. Yeah. Your life has not been in danger before. That's why you don't know. Hey, the church is quiet. Yeah. One time I found myself in a certain country. I was the only person in the guest house that they gave to me. Yes, and when you are in the hall, the lights are on. You can't see who is coming. But there was a dog. There was a dog. So the dog became my friend. And it would just be cool because that was where I had to sit to work. And I can't see who is coming. Then the dog will stiffen. I know somebody's coming. Are you there? So I'm already alert. Then the dog, he'll just stiffen. Then he relax. It's one of the guards passing. Yeah. Then he'll stiffen. They'll start to bark. He's a stranger. Oh, yes. When I stay, I was never afraid. Because, Charlie, this guy, he'll let me know what is going on. But we, even that, we cannot say in our lives. It's just a life of hustle. Oh. Tell neighbor that Adam did us bad. And now this hustle, no, it's not ending. Hey. Said, by the sweat of your brow, you eat bread. We sweat until we die. Are you there? But that is why God gave us others to care about. Suddenly a meaning enters. Yeah. Suddenly a meaning enters. There are people around you, where you live, where you work, where you... They don't know Christ. That's why you have been planted there. That house of witches, you have been placed there. Are you there? It's not every witch who will go to hell. Some will be saved. Oh, you are very quiet. This generation, we are responsible for our generation. We are responsible for those who are here. And God gave them to us so that our hearts will beat for others. Others, caring for others. Wow. Are you in the church? So today I'm just sharing this with you to change your mind. Change how you think. Let me quickly give you a few pointers, a few points. And from next week, come with your notebook. Huh, I see my young people with notebooks. It's powerful. Write the main point and then you write the scripture also. The first point is that others exist. Others exist. John chapter 3 and verse 16, which you can quote without even turning to it. That says what? John 3:16. That he gave is all it is. But whosoever believes him should not perish. So he gave. Now, point number two, our minds must be on others. That was the mind of Christ, though, others. Can you take us to Philippians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5? Philippians 2, 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I've shown you the mind of Christ, that even under punishment, Quarano, he was thinking about others. Are you there? No wonder his life had so much meaning. Point number three, we must spend our lives on others. I'll share with you at the end somebody who spent his life on others. 2 Corinthians 12:15. Can we have it, please? 2 Corinthians 12:15. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. This is Paul. I will spend my life for you. It gives it meaning. When you die, who will cry? Some of us, when we die, even our husband, when they are crying, the crying is not much. Oh, hard drink. Sometimes the crying is because of what you used to, I mean, you know, this their problem has finally gone. Hey, tell your neighbor that somebody must cry because of what I meant to them. Not your sister, your brother, somebody, another person, you see. We need to just do it. Why? Because you can. Because you can. There are people next door to you that you can help. But hey, you are thinking of your problem. You have made yourself the majesty of poverty. No matter how your brain is, somebody is brain more than you. Yeah. Are you there? Somebody once told me something. Should I tell you what he told me? He told me that you think you have problems. Put all your problems into a gagban. Do you know gagban? It's this silver bowl that we wash in. So carry it to the stadium. When you get there, everybody will be coming with their problems. You are coming to exchange. Are you there? You say you have a lot of problems. Okay. Put yours in the gagban and let's go. So when you get there, you suddenly see this one is coming with a 1,000-liter polytank. This one is coming with 5,000. He said, you just lift your gagban, put it on your head, and go back. Go back. Now, hey, they are wilder ones. 2 Corinthians 12:15. I will gladly spend and be spent on you. Who are you spending your life over? You see, most of us, we only do it when we can get something. Our loved one, our this. Otherwise, we won't do. We must live for others. Romans chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Can I have it in the Message Bible? We must live. So the point you're writing, we must live for others. Can I have Romans 15, 1 and 2? Those of us who are strong and able in the faith need to step in and lend a hand to those who falter and not just do what is most convenient for us. Oh, strength is for service, not status. The message can sometimes can say it clear. What's the next verse saying? Each one of us needs to look after the good of the people around us, asking ourselves, how can I help? Many of us, we are miserable because we are thinking, how can I be helped? Our only thought from morning to night is ourselves. And sometimes it shows on your face. Very moody, sulky. She said, "Bibi bong," you know. Yeah, and it's because you're helping nobody. You have no use to anyone. Are you there? Please, let's read it again. Verse 1. Those of us who are strong, are you strong? At least you are stronger than somebody. Yeah. And able in the faith, need to step in and lend a hand to those who falter. But you know, we don't lend a hand. We'd rather criticize them. We'd rather push them down more. To those who falter, that's somebody who has stumbled, somebody who's doing what is wrong. We rather do the opposite and not just do what is most convenient for us. Strength is for service. Hey, not status. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, your strength, it is for service. Your strength is for service. Yeah, not status. Why do you think God will give you money? So that you become more conceited? No. It's to help somebody with it. Yeah. It's to sort somebody out. The next one, we must serve others. We must serve others. The next one, we must lay down our lives for others. We must lay down our lives for others. And the last one, we must use all the blessings God has given us to care for others. May I hope it is entering us and that we are going to do it. Yeah. One time the Holy Spirit laid on my heart, do this thing. I said, oh, but why? He said, because you can, that's all. Because, not because somebody will thank you, not because somebody knows, not because of anything. Just that you can do it, so do it. Are you there? What are you going to do just because you can? And we can all do something. You may think your 1K is small until you see somebody who has none. For the remaining part, I'm just going to be talking for the next 5 minutes or so, then we'll just have a short, interlude to prepare for this wedding. But I want to share with you a few slides which take us to the life of somebody who gave his everything and he served during the Second World War. And the lives of such people are precious. Amen? I didn't have time to talk about Francis Chan, but write down the name of Francis Chan and look him up on Google. He is a hero of our time. Are you there? You see, Francis Chan. He was an Asian American who did a lot of things, to help people. Are you there? But let's go. I have some World War II slides here. I want to show you something. You will see during those times that things were not easy for the Jews, and they were, you know, you had to mark yourself with the stars, the Star of David, as they call it. And once you had it, we can identify you, you'll be in your house. Then they'll just come and say, yeah, out, this house now belongs to whoever, you know. And then they rounded up all the Jews and they took them to a ghetto. That's where the word ghetto comes from. The word ghetto. Yeah, it's not originally an English word. And they took them there. They left them to live like animals there until they finished building the camps. So Auschwitz is one of the camps. There are more. You can just slide through. Dachau is another. You see them packed like that. And as they are there, it's not that there's care for them. Oh. No toilets, no water, no nothing. And you are there, and they used to die in the thousands per day. Those who didn't die, they will pack you into a truck and take you to the gas chamber. Because by then the war was ending, they could see that they were losing. So they just kept killing. Please keep snowing. Treblinka is another one. These are all names. If you read or even watch movies, you see that they talk about some of these places. Sobibor, Escape from Sobibor is one of the, yeah. It was a real thing, oh. As they are showing it as if it's a story. Sobibor is an actual place. Belzec is also another one. So they went through all of these things. But now there was a man called Schindler. A story was made, a movie was made on this man's life called Schindler's List. And people think that Schindler's List is a story. It's not true. It's real. It's a real story. It's a real life that was made into a story. Now, this guy, Schindler, was somebody who, he was a businessman, and he came asking for labor. He wanted laborers for his factory. He was making bullets that they needed for the war. So when he came, they told him that, okay, we'll give you money. So he needed 100 of them. People, they gave them to him, and he was making the bullets. And in a year, he was now a multimillionaire. He had money. And then a day came when they killed some people in front of him, and he realized that, stop, oh, the thing is not a joke. It's not a joke. And that was when he underwent a change of heart. And he decided that as many of them as he can rescue, he will rescue them. So he began to bribe the authorities. Are you there? He will go and say, I need 400 people. Then they'll say, pay this. He'll pay it. Then he'll take the 400. The people were so broken, they couldn't even work. They couldn't even work. At a point, they were even saying that he wasn't meeting his targets. So he used some of the money to go to a proper bullet factory and actually buy bullets and send it as so that it's like it was a camouflage. Are you there? He saved a lot of people. Then he realized that they are even killing the children. So he went and said, I need 500 children. So what are you going to do with the children? He said, oh, the bullets, they need to put their hands inside. I need their small. It was nothing. No. It was to just rescue them. So he paid and he rescued them. And so the Schindler's List was an actual list. It was a list of the people that he rescued. It is said that he rescued about 1,100 of them. You can show us the list. That's why you should follow what is being said. Yeah. And so that's the name of the film, but it is the name of a real story. And you see this man pouring his life out and his everything out. Now, 1945, the war is ending. Everybody who's a German is in trouble, including him. He's in trouble just because he's German. They will not wait long enough to find out what we were doing, who you were saving, whatever. So he even had to, he had to run away, had to leave. And that was when he began to lament. Are you there? One would have thought that he would think, oh, at least I've tried, I've done well. But he began to lament. And as he was lamenting, the people he had saved, they surrounded him. And they were standing as he was talking. And he was saying, if I had made more money, I could have rescued more people. Yeah. He was saying that I threw away so much money, you know, just lamenting on his life before. He said, I didn't do enough. He is rescued. You, how many souls have you rescued us at now? Hello? How many souls have you rescued us at now? Because much as we are talking about a war, the same thing is going on right now, just that we can't see it with our eye, you know. He began to lament. He said, look at the car. Look at my car. This car, why did I keep it? I could have sold it and gotten 10 more people saved. Are you there? Then he had some gold pin. You see, at this point in his life, he was penniless. He didn't have anything. But his mind was still the little I had. He said, this pin, if I had sold it, I could have gone and bought 2 more people. 2 more people would have lived because of me. Are you in the house? Can you see somebody's life that is selfless? In the end, he saved a number of them. And it is said of today that in that area, you know, the Jews don't like Poland at all because of all the things that went on. And they are saying that there are only about 400 Jews there. But of the descendants of Schindler's List, there are over 6,000 people alive. Yeah. Because somebody cared enough. You and I, we may not be walking around in 1945 Germany, but we are in 2026 Ghana, which also has a meaning. Are you there? Who can you help? Who is around you that God has brought into your life so that you help the person? Hey, you are looking at me as if it's not you I'm talking about. Is it true or is it not true? We must begin to help because we can. That's all. Hey, tell your neighbor, let's do because we can. That's all. Just because we can. It's time to think about other people. We come to church because we want to receive. Hey, you should be coming because you are thinking about somebody else and bringing others with you. When we say bring somebody else, you think that it's just because of something. But I believe that in these next 2 or 3 weeks, our hearts must change. Who is benefiting because of you? When your life is over, who will cry genuine tears? Many of us, if we pass right now, the tears will all be crocodile. Tell your neighbor, crocodile tears. They want to stand to your feet. Hallelujah. You want to stand to your feet and you want to say, Lord, give me a heart like yours. Give me a heart like yours. Just begin to pray. Just begin to pray this afternoon. Give me a heart like yours. Give me a heart like yours. Hey, are you praying or you are just admiring yourself?
Lift your voice.
Give me a heart like yours.
Lift up your voice.
You want to
lift up your voice and begin to pray and ask the Lord that, Father, give me a heart like yours. Talk to the Lord, lift your voice. Ask him that, Lord, give me a heart.
Thinking of only myself,
Lord,
may I not think what will benefit me? Change my mind to think of you. Oh, lift your voice and pray. Lift your voice and pray.
Somebody pray. Ask him, Lord, like change my heart. Make me think about others. Make me care for others. Lord, we pray. Lord, we ask. Lift your voice. Ask him. Pray that, Father, give me the disposition to pray for
as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, you are here this afternoon. Maybe somebody invited you to church or you came on your own, but you can see that you are far from God and you are saying, I don't want to be far, I want to be close. Sometimes you've been coming to church, you were born in the church, even you are even working in church, but you can see that as far as a personal relationship goes, Padre, you don't have one. This afternoon, I want to give you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus. I want to invite you to come and receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. I want you to, it's the beginning of it all. You cannot think of others on your own. At least you cannot sustain it because it comes from the Lord. So as you stand and as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just lift up your right hand and we're going to pray together. Just lift your right hand up. Let one of the pastors or ushers help you. I just want you to come. We want to pray together. You just want to come. We want to pray together. Just step out of where you are and come. God bless you. God bless you. Step out and come. You are there. Don't go home not sure of yourself. Don't go home not sure of yourself. Very soon we'll be going to our wedding segment. But for now, it's about your life. It's about you. Your heart is beating. That's Jesus telling you something. Just come. Let's pray. If you are standing in front, I want you to say this prayer after me. You want to say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today as a sinner. Please wash me in your blood. Cleanse me from my sins. Please write my name in the book of life. Lord Jesus, from today, you are my Savior and you are my Lord. I thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.
With all of me, I wanna praise you.
We believe that you have been blessed by this message. For more information, you can follow us on Facebook, Fountain of Life Cathedral, and on Instagram and Twitter at FOLCI Ibiase. God richly bless you.